there's a clarion call from God. And God is saying that we need to stick together. That we need to stick together in unity. And as long as we are unified, the enemy cannot come in and destroy us. And God has called us to come together in unity. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I just want to read a couple of verses to you in Matthew chapter 18. I'll give you time to turn there. And I just want to tell you that I love you and I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And I told somebody this yesterday. I said, I'm so thankful for the church. And they've got to remember that I'm their friend first and their pastor second. Y'all said amen. No, pastor first, friend second. I'm trying to wake you all up this morning and trying to get us to laugh and loosen up. Amen. Everybody say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. And so thankful for everybody here. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 through 20. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree," everybody say agree. "Agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Jesus is telling us that if we agree together for a specific thing when we pray, that it will be done. In this verse, he doesn't just say maybe. He doesn't guess about it. But Jesus says that when we come together and pray, that it, whatever we ask concerning, what did he say? Anything that we ask, it will be done. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I take the word of God seriously. And I believe that when we pray together hand in hand and we believe that God will heal, deliver, and save, and we pray the same thing and we agree, it shall be done. But I have found, and I found this in my personal walk, and I found this in other, maybe other Christians' walk, that when they pray, when they get done praying, a day later they give up on their prayer. And they cast away their confidence and say, "Well, God must not have heard me. God must have forgot about me." Listen, if you keep on asking, you keep on seeking, you keep on knocking, God's going to open the door. You keep on seeking the Lord's going to answer you. And you've got to seek the Lord, the Bible says, while he may be found. But I want to give you a definition of what agreement means. Agreement is the key to releasing the manifestation. That word manifestation means demonstration. How many wants to see a demonstration of God's power? I want to see a demonstration of God's power. See, it's one thing to explain God, but it's another thing to encounter God. It's one thing to explain God, but it's another thing to experience God. And I think that's what is missing in believers' lives today, even those who are not saved, is that they rely upon an explanation. But listen, we can talk about God all day long, and you can hear me preach all day long, but until you seek God and get in His Word and pray and get down to business, you're not going to experience what God wants you to experience. Listen, there's more to this spiritual walk than just sitting in a pew or sitting in a chair. There's more to this spiritual walk than just coming to church on Sunday morning for 2 hours. It's a Sunday through Saturday thing. It's 365, 24/7. Listen, when you encounter God, you are changed. You are not the same person. And I just want to tell you, some of you, and this is not in my notes, so I'm just preaching as the Holy Spirit leads me this morning. Some of you may have come in here condemned. You've been beaten down by life. You think there's no hope for your life. Nobody loves me. I've done too many bad things. You are to look at my life. My past is terrible. My past is horrible. Listen, if it's under the blood, it's under the blood. If God don't remember it, He don't remember it. Listen, when God forgives, He forgives. Listen, man will bring it up. The world will bring it up. But you got to get to the point to where you believe what Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I believe the one who's still sitting on the throne. I don't know about you this morning, but I believe that God is sovereign and that he is supreme and that God is in control of what is going on. And I'm going to put my life in his hands because God knows what he is doing. Can I get an amen this morning? I want an experience with God. I don't want just an explanation. I don't want just teaching or doctrine. I want to see a demonstration of God's power. I want to see people crying in the altar, crying unto God, and getting down to business and getting serious and understand that God is not playing games and that God wants us to get real about this and say, wait a minute, there are people that are lost. We are not here to play church. We are here to seek God's face and to seek his will for our lives. Oh God, come down and reveal yourself to us. Am I the only one getting excited about this morning? Can I get an amen? Amen. So God wants us to walk in agreement. And God says, according to these verses, that if we walk in agreement, nothing, I repeat, nothing is impossible. If we walk in agreement. If we walk in agreement. According to this, what we just read in these two verses this morning, God demonstrates himself through the prayer of agreement. He said in verse 19, if two of you agree on earth, everybody say earth. Earth needs to agree with heaven. Does it remind you of what the Lord's prayer is? Right? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On what? Earth. As it is in where? People need to experience heaven on earth. People need to sense the love of God in their lives. But the enemy will come in. See, the Bible describes Satan, Lucifer, as the false accuser of the brethren. And he will come in and he is the negative voice that tries to tear you down and says, you're not worthy to step into the church. Because if I step into the church, preacher, the walls are going to cave in. Listen, don't you demote the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that sets us free. You say, preacher, I've done too many bad things. Listen, don't you demote the worth and the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, you preach on the blood too much. No, it's okay. You can accuse me of that because I'll preach the blood of Jesus Christ every day of my life. Amen. Do you agree with me? Amen. I said, do you agree? Amen. So we must agree. Earth needs to agree with heaven. And when we ask God in agreement, it shall be done. The reason why agreement in prayer is so powerful is that it reflects the unity that is in heaven. How many knows there's great unity in heaven? The angels are agreeing with God. Right? The angels are agreeing with God. Oh, the host, the Lord of hosts, as the Bible describes it. There is so much unity in heaven. And God says, I want the church to have that kind of unity on earth. And the only way that we can have that kind of unity on earth is to forgive, forgive, forgive. We have got to learn to let things go. We have to let things go that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I know what they said is bad, and I know there were some bad things that happened, but you have to let it go in order to move forward. And I'm here to tell you that if you'll move forward and let it go, you will see heaven on earth. You will experience the power of God in your life. And I'm here to tell you that if you don't have unity in your life, it could be an issue of pride because you have to be right all the time. How many's ever met somebody like that? Very competitive, right? I've got to be right. And so to be right is more important than to be together for some people. And I want to be right even if it costs us our relationship. Everybody say the unity of the Spirit. When you have the unity of the Spirit, you can disagree on some things, but you're still in agreement because you're both walking in the Spirit and you're determined. Did y'all catch that? Did y'all catch what I said, what I just said? When you're walking in the unity of the Spirit, listen, you can disagree on minor things and you can still walk together in unity. Amen. Hallelujah. Me and Danielle, there's some things we disagree about, right? But mine and her prayer, our prayer is that we walk in the unity of the Spirit, that we walk together, and that we are not walking against each other, that we are a team. Everybody say team. And you know what the enemy will do? He'll get you to disagree on something. He'll get you to disagree on something, and all of a sudden you'll find yourself in an argument. And you'll be fussing over stuff that is trivial, that don't even matter, that's not even going to matter 2 weeks from now. Are you relating to this somehow? Are we relating here? And so we get into an argument, and all of a sudden the enemy will just feed on that and feed on that and feed on. And that will lead to another topic, another topic, another topic, and you find yourself, and you're just spitting mad, and you're so mad you can't stand it, and you're so angry, and you're just so mad you could just punch a hole in a wall. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes in and says, look what you're letting the enemy do. You're walking in disagreement. Your children are watching you. Your children are hearing you argue in the living room or in your bedroom, and you're screaming at each other, hollering at each other. And God is saying, quit arguing, quit disagreeing, quit arguing, getting mad at each other over little things. Get in church, get in the house of God, get into the Word of God. Listen, if you start praying, you won't have time to argue over silly stuff. If you'll start praying and seeking the face of God, you won't have time to gossip. Can I preach a little bit this morning? If you pray just a little bit, you won't have time to backbite. You won't have time to stab somebody in the back. You won't have time to be somebody else's enemy. Listen, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Oh, you must seek the Lord this morning while he may be found. Can we walk in agreement this morning? Walking in agreement and unity. But pride says you got to be right. Pride says it's all about you. But God says it's humility and it's all about them. What can I do to serve them? You say, Pastor, I'm tired of my life. It's the same old, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Well, do something different. Do something different. Do something you've never done before. Serve someone. Right? Serve. Find somewhere to serve. That'll change your life. Right? You ever hear people talk about themselves all the time? Well, I did this and I did that and I did this. When they talk about themselves all the time, have you noticed that they're the most miserable people? Right? Because it's all about them, and they're not even focused on serving someone else. And I'm here to tell you that if you'll change that mentality, and say, I'm going to start serving someone else, and I'm going to start blessing someone else, even if I don't feel like it. Even if my flesh, my soul don't feel like it, I'm going to bless someone and serve someone else. Because we walk by faith and not by feeling, right, church? I'm going to serve because you can choose your happiness. You choose it. You can choose to be positive or you can choose to be negative. You know, it's a choice. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you can choose to believe the Word of God or you can choose to wake up in the morning and say, it's another day. It's just another day. How about when you wake up in the morning that you understand that you're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ and that you are called to represent Him? And I'm here to tell you, every one of you in here this morning, you have purpose. I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care who you are. You have purpose. You are here for a reason. You say, Pastor, you're preaching to the choir this morning. I don't know. Maybe if it's just for one person that needed to hear that. Right? Too many people deal with depression. Too many people deal with discouragement, and they don't know how to handle the disappointment and the discouragement and the depression. They don't know how to handle it. But if they'll come together and find a brother, find a sister that they can come into agreement with in prayer, and find a support system. How many knows you got to have a support system? And you come together and you have a support system, a family. It is then you can get going forward and that you can take that step of faith. Amen? So God wants us to come together in agreement. It's time to stop majoring on the minors. We all have differences. We all have different backgrounds. We're different. We have different personalities. Some of us are goofy. Right? Some of us, we have different temperaments. We're all different. But the Bible says that we should have the same care for one another. And that we are family, that we are the family of God. And that we should come together. You say, well, I don't like that person. Well, like them. Right? Show the love of God. You say, well, I don't know about that person. They're just not like me. There's some things in their life. There's some flaws they got. Well, don't you got any flaws? Listen, it's easy to get on Facebook and tell the world how wrong they are. But if you turn it around, man, you'll see some flaws in yourself. Right? Thank God that the Lord doesn't judge me based on my flaws. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Right? It's easy to get on there and complain and tell everybody what's wrong with them and what's wrong with the world. And people don't even realize that change starts with them. Change starts with not you wills. Change starts with I will. I will serve the Lord, right? So we've got to understand that God wants us to walk in unity and agreement. Amen? What does he say right here in verse 20? He says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name. Do you know what that means? God is not moved by a crowd. He's moved by faith. What does the Bible say? But without faith, I'm not getting too close to you, am I? I'll try not to spit on you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. Right? And we think that God is moved by a crowd. Listen, God called one man to build a boat. God called one man to build an ark. And Noah obeyed. And all those years he built the ark, him and his family, and only eight were saved. And God was moved by Noah's faith. And Noah obeyed God and he acted upon the word of God. Do you know when you're a witness with your words, when you're a witness for God with your actions, you're building an ark. Do you know that? You're building an ark yourself for people to run into. So that they could be saved. Here's my question to you. Are you building an ark? Or are you complaining too much? Right? Why don't you get the hammer of the Word of God and say, I'm going to stop complaining and I'm going to start being a solution. How many's ever seen that? How many's ever seen that commercial where it's a security commercial and they're talking about problem monitors? You know, there's two groups of people. You got problem monitors and you got problem solvers, right? Right. Your problem monitors are those who say, nothing can be done. Nothing can be fixed. And that commercial is so funny because they're in that room and the guy's like, are you going to do anything? Our house just got robbed. And he's like, oh, no, we're just called to monitor the problem. It's ridiculous, really. Right? What would you do if the enemy came in your house, or a thief? Let me say it like this. Let me put it in physical terms. What if a thief came into your house, put your family at risk, stealing stuff from your house, and you're just going to stand there and say, well, I'm just here to monitor the problem. I'm not really here. My goodness, anyone who has any sense is going to take some action and say, there ain't no thief coming into my house to steal my stuff. Can we talk about it in a spiritual sense now? The Bible says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. If you are going to keep the thief from coming into your house and stealing your stuff, you got to stand up and say, I'm going to obey the word of God. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the news media says. That's just a bunch of trash anyways. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what they say. We are going to stand on the word of God. Listen, only if there's 8 people left, we're going to build the ark. Amen. We're going to build the ark. We're going to agree together. We're going to build it together, right? He says, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name. How many members reading the passage of Paul and Silas? Thrown in jail for preaching the gospel, right? Some of us, we wouldn't even know what to do if we got thrown in jail for talking about Jesus, would we? We don't know what persecution is, do we? Right? So Paul and Silas was thrown in jail. Right? They could have said, God, why did you let this happen? Sounds like us, don't it? Why did you let this happen? God, why did you let this happen? Paul and Silas didn't say, why did you let this happen, God? One prayed and one sang. And as they began to pray, there was an earthquake that happened. Right? Broke the chains. That's what we sung this morning, wasn't it? Set them free from prison. Set them free from jail. The jailer that was in there started to kill himself. Paul said, wait, don't do that. There's hope for your life. There's hope for your life. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name. Husband, wife, where 2 or 3, where 2 are gathered in my name, I'll be there in the midst. You need Jesus in the middle of your relationship. If you do not have Jesus in your relationship, it will fail. It will fail. Get God in your relationship. Don't play with the world. Don't play with the enemy. Get into the Word of God. Seek God's face while He may be found. He is coming soon. And I'm pleading with you this morning. You must get Jesus in your life. Jesus in your life. God wants us to walk together in agreement, in unity. This morning, we're agreeing together. When we worship together, we agree. In Genesis chapter 11, how many has ever read the Tower of Babel? And the Bible says that they were building a tower, and they were out of the will of God, and the Bible says they had one language. Everybody say one language. They had one language, and they were together in unity. And because they had one language and they were together in unity, the Bible says that there was nothing impossible for them because they were in unity. If nothing was impossible for them and they were out of the will of God, how much more would be possible for us who walk in unity that is in the will of God? In church, I'm just here to tell you, we've got to come together in unity, and we are together in unity, but I pray that it becomes such a strong bond that when the world sees us, they'll say, look at the family of God. They're getting along with each other. They're praying for each other. They're serving each other. They're not arguing over the color of the carpet. They're not arguing over what kind of tissue to get. They're not arguing about anything because they got their mind on God. And when you've got your mind on God, it doesn't matter because all you want to do is please God and serve people and see what God does in your life. Amen? Everybody say 2 or 3? In His name right here it says, in my name, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Boy, that's good, ain't it? In His name. There's something about the name of Jesus. When you mention Jesus out in public, it gets people's attention. Y'all agree with that? It really does. And when you mention the name Jesus, it's like, ooh, yee. Because for some people, they love to talk about Jesus. And for some people, he's very controversial. Right? Because we preach that he's the only way to heaven. John 14:6, right? He's the way, the truth, and the life. And there's just something about the name of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, you may not have ever prayed before, and you don't know what to pray, and you may not know how to pray. All you have to do is just keep saying Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, because his name means Savior. Savior. Lord, help us not to be ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. You know, when I see these sports games and I see them pray and use the name of Jesus, I'm like, woo, go, you go on. Keep doing it. Keep praying. Keep praying. And you know what the church has done? They have let people run them over and say, you can't do that. You can't pray. Can I give you an example? Can I give you a personal example? I remember me and Danielle was at a certain place, and I was talking about witnessing, and I said, this would be a good place to go talk about the Lord, talk to people about the Lord. And I looked at the sign and said, you know, that sign says no soliciting, no soliciting. And I didn't make her think, I didn't let her think that I was really thinking about it, but she knew it. She knew I was thinking it. She said, you ain't going to let stuff like that keep you from talking about the Lord, are you? No. I'm a pastor. Of course not. Of course not. Are we willing to speak for the name of Jesus if there's verbal persecution? Unfortunately, even physical persecution. Are we willing to speak for the name of Jesus? It's a good question, isn't it? I want us to come together in agreement. And we're going to grow. And we are growing. We are growing. You say, Pastor, it's not about numbers. Well, my goodness, the Lord wrote a book called Numbers. Right? You say, Pastor, it's not about numbers. Then what did Jesus come here for? I don't think... We think, well, it's not about, listen, we want as many people saved as we can. We want to see people discipled. We want to see them grow. Right? And if they call us radical, that's okay. Right? If they say we're crazy and we scream too much and we it's okay because it's for God. Right? I never did understand that. People never did get uncomfortable at sports games, hollering and stuff. Somebody hollers in church. What in the world? What got into him? Well, my goodness, he got his sins forgiven. Somebody fought to die for him. He is saved from a burning pit of hell. Amen, church. Hallelujah. In my name, he says, speaking the name of Jesus. And when we agree in Jesus' name, he becomes the center of our lives. And we must agree within our hearts and not just words, right? If me and Danielle pray for healing, right, we pray, God, heal this person, or some of us, and we come together in agreement, right, two or three. We come together in agreement. We say, God, heal this person. But if you have this person saying, well, whatever happens, it was the will of God. Well, that's not agreement. Did y'all catch that? That's not agreement. You got to come together in agreement. You both got to believe and pray the specific thing and say, look, this is what we're praying for. Let's pray this right now. And Jesus said that if we come together in agreement and we agree, right? We agree in his name. He said, concerning anything you ask, it shall be done. It shall be done. Boy, that's awesome. Isn't that awesome? I don't know about y'all, but that builds my faith. So I'm speaking to husband and wife here this morning. Grab him or her by the hand and say, we are walking in the unity of the Spirit. We are going forward. We are going to serve God. We are going to do what's right. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. We come together in agreement. How many's ever seen the movie USS Indianapolis? I think it came out last year. You seen that? Seen that movie? And it was a good movie, and they sent this sent the boat out and sent it out on a to carry a certain bomb, and they were hit by a missile because they didn't have an escort and they didn't have no protection. So the enemy, everybody say the enemy. The enemy, the submarine, shot five or six missiles and it just sunk the boat. Well, before all this happened, there was two guys who were on the same team fighting for the same country. These two guys couldn't get along. And in this movie, they were actually thrown in a cell, isolated in a cell, in the ship, in the boat, on the USS Indianapolis. So these two guys couldn't get along, but all of a sudden, the enemy shoots missiles and sinks this ship. So it starts leaning, it's starting to sink. And all of a sudden, these two guys, who were really, really against each other, were trying to save each other. They said, "Give me the key, got to find the key, we're going to drown, we're going to drown, we're going to drown." And they finally freed each other. Somebody finally got the key and freed each other before they drowned. And they became best friends after that happening. What's the lesson? What's the application here? What's the application? The enemy, the devil, doesn't want you to realize that he is actually the enemy. And it's sad and it's a tragedy until we get hit hard. Until we get hit hard with life, when life throws us a curveball, that gets our attention when that happens. And we've got to understand, wait a minute, we need to be unified already. You've got to turn the weapon away from each other. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6, but against powers and principalities. Guys, I'm going to speak to you from the bottom of my heart, and I'll speak this with care and love. If there's anybody, and in the context of the scripture, if you read earlier in this scripture, it's talking about if you have an ought against someone, you need to go to them and forgive them. You need to do it now. He says, don't wait, you do it now. If there's bitterness in your heart and unforgiveness in your heart, you're acting like those two guys that was on that boat, fighting each other while they were on the same team. Maybe you got a brother, maybe you got a sister, maybe you got an aunt, maybe you got an uncle, maybe you got a coworker, and you're bitter and you're walking in unforgiveness. And you say, "Pastor, I can't forgive them for what they did. Pastor, I can't forgive them for what they said. Pastor, I can't do it." Listen, you got to forgive. If you don't forgive, you'll be in a prison for the rest of your life. You've got to let it go. "I can't let it go." No, you can't, but God working through you, you can. You've been hurt, you've been wounded. You got to understand that the flesh and blood is not your enemy, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The enemy is at work and he wants to cause division. And he doesn't want you to get along with your brother and sister, and he doesn't want you to get along with your spouse. He doesn't want you to get along with people. And he wants to cause division everywhere he can. And God is saying to you this morning, I don't know your life. I don't know what you're going through. But God says if you're walking in bitterness and unforgiveness, he said today, this morning is the day you let it go. Today is the day you let that stuff go and say, from now on, I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I choose to be free and not put myself in a prison for the rest of my life. Because forgiving that person is really, it is about them, but it's more about you. You've got to forgive. Forgive. And God wants us to be in tune. You know what's so great about this word agree? The word we get for that in Greek is symphony. How many has ever been to a symphony concert? Right? There's different instruments in the band, right? And they all sound, they're in tune with each other. You got different instruments. But you got a conductor. And that conductor is leading them and guiding them. And God wants your relationship, and he wants this church to be a symphony, to agree together, to be in tune with each other, to be on the same page, and not try to figure out each other's motives. I wonder what their motive is. I wonder why they did that. I wonder why they... Just love them. Don't waste your energy and don't wear your mind out trying to figure out people's motives. Listen, it's not your place to judge. That's God's place. You just love people and serve them. And you keep loving them. Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be a symphony. And the conductor is God, the Holy Spirit. And he's conducting this beautiful symphony to come together. And it's a great sound for all those to hear. Amen, church. And we walk together in agreement. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that two are better than one. We've got to come together in unity in our personal lives and also in the church. Cain and Abel, jealousy. You know, Cain killed Abel over religion. You do know that, right? Because he was jealous of the offering, that God didn't accept his offering. It was a religious offering. Jealousy and envy and division. It all started in the garden. And still to this day, the enemy uses division. And before you know it, you'll be at odds with everybody, with your family, and not even realize that it's the enemy working. But when you do realize it, you need to say, oh, wait a minute, hold up. We're at each other's throats right now, and nobody is even going to worry about this a week from now. Right? We're at each other's throats right now. Listen, you got to walk in agreement. You say, well, there ain't nothing is getting done in my relationship. Nothing is getting done in the church. Nothing is getting done. Listen, if you walk in agreement and ask, it will be done. And we're going to have an altar call this morning. Bring your family up here. A friend. Find someone that will agree with you. And say, you know what? We're going to walk by faith. I'm tired of living the same old life. I'm tired of the same old story. Right? I'm tired of the same story. I'm tired of the same life. I'm tired of making the same decisions. I feel like I'm spinning wheels. How many's ever been there? I've been there. You feel like you're spinning wheels. Right? Today's the day to put it in drive. Right? And get a bunch of us to push the car out of the mud, so to speak. Right? Today's the day to do that. Are you going to walk in agreement? You say, I want to see God. Come together in agreement with someone. I want to see the Lord. I want to see God's power. I want to see God's miracles. I want to see God's gifts. How about coming together in agreement? Right? I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you for this week. I want you to do the best you can. I want you to do the best you can. Don't complain about anything. Don't complain about anything. Everybody say good news. Just talk about God. Don't complain. I got to talk about politics. Just talk about God. Just talk about God. You with me, church? Just serve someone. Do something good for somebody for a whole week, and your life will change. I'm telling you, in a 1 week's time, your life will change. Everybody say focus. See, we can be focused on what's wrong all the time. But if you're focused on what's wrong all the time, it ain't going to get fixed. Right? It's one thing to say, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. What about, I need to see where I'm at with God. I need to be seeking God. I need heaven to touch earth. I need heaven to touch earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Miss Judy, we're walking in agreement, aren't we? Amen. Brian, we're walking in agreement, aren't we? Hallelujah. Dad, we're walking in agreement, aren't we? Amen. He's signing to my mom. Justin, we're walking in agreement, aren't we? So I'm going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to challenge you. I want you to take somebody by the hand, whoever you feel led. I want you to take somebody by the hand. And I want you to walk in agreement with each other and pray. What, it may be a specific thing, or it may be more. It may be 10 specific things. And listen, when you come up here, you pray as long as you want to. You can pray as long as you want to. We ain't got no time limit here, right? We ain't got no time limit. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start bringing my lunch. So that way we don't, when service is over, we just eat right out here, Daniel. Listen, God is here. And God is calling you to come up and agree with someone in prayer. You say, Pastor, I've never been to the altar before. I'm afraid of what other people will think. Listen, we are not here to see through each other. We are here to see each other through. Did y'all catch that? We're not here to judge each other. We all need prayer. We all need help. We've all failed. We've all fell short of the glory of God. But as he's playing right now, I want you to come up. I want you to come up, grab someone by the hand, whoever it is, whoever you feel led.